So it's going to be your bigger help?
Okay, now.
Comes in my head touch. Apologies, folks. I'm just having a couple of technical issues here.
What's that bridge behind you there, Charlie?
Okay, folks, apologies for that. So hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting? Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would like to remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or non-significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you will unmute your microphone to speak, or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure their cameras are switched on when speaking. Cameras should also be switched on when a vote is being taken. I would like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, S if you wish to second, and please refrain from making any other comments using the instant messaging facility. Following the presentation of an officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder. This should be done using the instant messaging feature. Please do not submit these until asked to do so, as it may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute and indicate vocally that they are proposing or seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via the instant messenger feature so that we are aware that this is an active decision and does not indicate connectivity problems. I would just like to quickly welcome Billy, Councillor Walker, along tonight. Billy, it's great to see you. We're glad. I know you've had a rough time of it, so it's great to see you back here this evening.
Thank you, Chair.
I also just would like to very quickly mention the Carrick, Cruppen and Beleek football teams. One won the Armagh Intermediate Championship and Beleek won the Junior Championship, and also the Downpatrick RGE ladies who were crowned Senior A Intermediate Champions. So look, it's another month and another mental health and wellbeing topic. And this month, the topic that I'm focusing on as Chair is about a healthy and balanced lifestyle and the impact that this can have on our general health and wellbeing. When I talk about a healthy lifestyle, I'm of course talking about nutrition, a well-balanced diet, a measured alcohol intake and a healthy work-life balance, which I know for councillors and elected reps isn't always a possibility. We're not always able to do it. It's also about good sleep patterns and plenty of exercise and activity. There is now a growing body of evidence indicating that nutrition plays a really important role in the prevention, development and management of diagnosed mental health problems, including depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, and also dementia. And as I've been researching this, it's actually really fascinating, just the impact that this can have. We already know about the impact of getting out and about and active and what this has, the impact this has on our health and wellbeing. And I suppose the past 18 months have only highlighted this. And visitors to our local green spaces and walkways have increased dramatically as people have realised the benefits. And thankfully, our council have identified this in their corporate objectives. So this month, I'm asking two things. If you firstly, I suppose, is personally to have a close look at your own lifestyle, and try and just bear in mind that sort of work-life balance, although I know that this job doesn't always lend itself to that, and also to take a conscious effort to promote this with your own constituents and in your own DEA. There's plenty of programmes and different even council-led programmes with regards to healthy eating and healthy lifestyle, so ask me to actively promote them this month. So thank you very much. We'll move on. Okay. Glenn, do you want to come in there?
Chair, you mentioned a few teams there that had some very good achievements there. I would like to mention the Ballyvay football team there. They won the Foster's Cup there in the Mid-Ulster League there last week, which is a massive achievement for any of our local teams around here. So I would like you just to have that recorded in the minute, please.
No problem, Glenn. Thanks for that. Congratulations to Ballyvay. Okay, so we'll move on with the agenda. So, apologies. Any apologies?
Thanks for John Trainer.
And I have an apology from Councillor O'Hare and Councillor Doran.
And Councillor Hugh Gallagher, Cathy as well. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Okay, thank you. Item number two, any declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
Okay, so item number three is then the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 4th of October 2021 through page by page. So page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, and page six. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor McGuinness. Any matters arising? Okay, we'll move on to item number four, which is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 4th of October. And again, we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11, page 12, and page 13. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Burgess. On any matters arising? No? Okay, we'll move on to item number five, which is the minutes of the special council meeting held on the 27th of September 2021. And we'll go through it page by page for accuracy. So page one, page two, page three, and page four. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Hanlon and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Any matters arising? Okay, move on to item number six, which is the minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee meeting held on the 11th of October. Page by page for accuracy is page one, page two, page three, page four, page five, page six, page seven, page 8, page 9, and page 10. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? proposed by Councillor Hall and seconded by Councillor Burgess. And any matters arising? Councillor McAteer, you have a question?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be at the meeting on the 11th of October, but it's just regarding to page 4, which is the report of the Warren Point Front Shore Public Redding Scheme meeting. It's only really to, I'm not disagreeing with the proposal, of course, but it's just to really emphasise the fact that we would like to see some sort of tightening up in terms of the delivery of this whole overall project. I see the proposal here, and it's to do with funding from DFC that is done on a phased process. Now, we initially, you know, we surmised that we would be able to do it in one go as such, but that seems to be beyond the spending at the moment. So could I just say ask that we write to the Department of Communities and ask them for a reassurance that the monies for all the phases will be forthcoming, the first part in this financial year, of course, but in the next financial year that's addressed going forward, 22-23, because the worst thing you could have is a bitty-bitty approach where you have a missing part of the whole scheme, maybe never being completed unless we got some sort of assurances. So that's really what I would like, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Councillor McAteer. Have you got a seconder for your proposal?
Yeah, Karen McGavitt.
Councillor McGavitt. Okay, we're in agreement with that. Connor can maybe pick up on that.
Yes, Chair, I can action that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Givens, you have a question in there?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Just two quick points. The first one would be just asking about the charged parking and Forest Country Parks consultation that was finished in January. Can I just ask, where are we on that? It's taken such a long time to get the results out. We were good enough to ask the people for their opinion, and it seems to be that we're a bit reluctant to find out what their opinion was. So if we could just get a bit of detail on, is there any sign of this, of the results coming out? And the second point, Chair, quickly, is I've had a number of experienced mountain bikers contacting me lately, but again today, about the safety of the mountain bike trails in Rostrever, that a few of them seem to be unsafe, regard waterlogged, maintenance of the trails seem to be lagging in some spots, on Mega Mission and the Pulse trails especially. So if we get a bit of a comment and that, a bit of an update. I do think there was a bit of work done that did take place lately, maybe as yesterday, but if we get a bit of a comment and that, because I'd be worried about the safety of these are experienced beggars that are contacting me, and they would be professional enough to know what they're talking about. So if we could just get a bit of an update on that, Chair. So thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Givens. Connor, are you okay to comment on those?
Yeah, I'm happy to pick these up with Councillor Givens outside the meeting.
Okay, thank you very much. There's no other matters arising. Okay, we'll move on to item number 7, which is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee meeting held on the 14th of October. I'll go through page by page for accuracy. So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7 and page 8. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? Proposed by Councillor Sharvin and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. And any matters arising? Councillor Sharvin, you have a question in there?
Yes, Chair. It's under the surplus assets item where 5 Ballino Road is mentioned, where we were to liaise with a local community group over the next 2 weeks. That liaison has taken place between the group and officials. And Chair, I would ask that, I propose that we remove it from moving to open market, and that the officers continue to work with the local community group as it's been identified that it is suitable for their plans.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Sharvin, and I see Councillor Hanlon has seconded that proposal there. Serena, are you okay to pick that up?
Yeah, we'll take that forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No other matters arising, so we'll move on to item number 8, which is the minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 18th of October 2021. We'll go through page by page for accuracy, so page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor McAvoy. And any matters arising? Councillor Murray, you have a question?
Just a very brief question, Chair. Thanks a million. It was just around the Active Travel Master Plan that I spoke on it at the committee on that, and I'd asked the question, was it an ambitious, an overly ambitious sort of a plan? It's a fantastic plan. When you get a chance to read it, there's 100-odd pages to it. So before the meeting, I had just sort of gone through different stages of it But since the meeting, I've had a good time to digest it and that. And my question is the same as I asked at the time. Is it a largely aspirational document, or is it a document that we have a complete commitment that we're going to work with the relevant departments in the Assembly to get it into action? Because I spoke at the committee about the benefits that this is going to have to the towns and smaller towns and villages alike, but the like a new town that's mentioned in it with the very simplest pedestrian crossings and cycle lanes not there in the town would make a huge difference to town life. So again, just a question, are we thinking an aspirational pipe dream, or are we thinking that, you know, it's something that we can all work towards and make a reality?
Thanks, Barra. Michael, can you comment on that?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Clearly, it is a very aspirational document. It is very ambitious. It will take a long time, I would imagine, to see all of the actions, if indeed all of the actions can be implemented, to see them happening. Obviously, there are a number of government departments that are involved in this and heavily committed to it. As officers and as a council, we are committed to working with the government departments and various agencies to make as much of this happen as quickly as possible. So that's our commitment. The councillor is quite right to point out, and as he said, he pointed out at AHC, a lot of this is outside of our hands. As a council, we have limited powers in a number of these matters and limited budgets as well. So we will work very hard to try and ensure that the targets set out in this ambitious document are achieved. But it's, I suppose I just have to point out, as has been mentioned by the councillor, you know, this will take a long time, and it requires the goodwill and the efforts of a number of government agencies and departments, not just this council.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Pete, you have got a question then?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on the same issue. Like Councillor Murray, I went through the master plan. I thought it was a great document, and I went back through it again, trying to see what it would actually mean for the rural area. Obviously, I have an interest in the South Armagh part of the document. You know what? We're talking there about being aspirational. It's got to be something that we are absolutely focused on delivering. Yes, we can say that it's not all under the control of local government, that we have to work with government departments. But on the day that world leaders are meeting in Scotland to discuss the future of the planet, I mean, active travel is front and at front and centre of their minds. And I think we've got government departments listening when we come around to issues like active travel. When you get documents like this, of course we're going to welcome documents like this. Long-term documents from local government looking at what we can do on the ground in our towns and in our villages to improve people's health and well-being and how they're actually moving around the areas that they live in. So it's great to see a 10-year document and a vision, but we have to ensure that it actually is adapted for our council area, which is largely rural. And listen, over the last number of years, and certainly in this Assembly mandate, the SDLP have had active travel as their priority. We only have to look at Minister Mallon's pilot schemes run into the Blue Green Fund, into all the work that she's doing on active travel. But I want to see this ambition stretched in this document. I want to ensure that this document isn't ratified tonight and that's it closed off and it can't be added to. yes, it may be aspirational, but we need to, as things change, we need to be able to add to the document. I don't believe that in South Armagh, as much as I welcome the extending of footpaths and infrastructure within a small village to improve walking and cycling, I don't think that is the silver bullet that actually improves active travel in rural areas. Because yes, it will work in bigger towns and cities, like Newry or and big towns like Downpatrick. But in rural areas, if you're serious about driving active travel, you need to connect the smaller areas in and around the big towns. And if you look at Cross Midland, for example, I generally don't think that the proposals in there are actually going to be, you know, change people's lives drastically. I think they're a welcome improvement that will make the town safer for people that are walking and cycling. But if you're out in the ground in Cross Midland, people are walking around well-known loops out around Lizarrah between Cross Midland and Colville, trying to walk out to Poets Glen in Craigan, which is a great, fantastic scenic loop there. And we need to be able to connect those areas. Listen, it's been in the village plan for years. I think parts of the village plan are aspirational in itself because we haven't realised parts of it. But we need to ensure that our plans are actually consistent right across all these strategies. So that should be in this document. We should be looking at how we can connect Craigan, Cross Midland, Colville. Because if we have to go back even a decade where the Chamber of Commerce and Cross Midland talked about connecting those three rural villages. So the way you improve active travel in rural areas is connect those wee pockets where people actually move between. It's not just looking at the footpaths and looking at the junctions in the areas. So, and also going back to that document, you know, we touched on, in the village plan, we touched on linking the Monaghan Way, the Loch Ross Greenway. There are things that we can talk about. And I understand there's different strategies in council where we can raise this. And we've got the Loud NMD forum where we can raise issues like the Monaghan Way and Loch Ross Greenway. But we've got to have them in this document. So, yes, it may be aspirational, but we need to have some sort of direction in this document that we can say, listen, that's what we decided in this active travel master plan for a decade, and that's what we want to draw down money for. So I'd ask and make the proposal that this document isn't closed, that this document is an open, living document that we can add to, and that we explore how we improve active travel in rural communities. Those footpaths out to Lizarrah, those footpaths out to Poets Glen, and I'm sure all councillors have the same in their own areas. Great for big, large towns, not the silver bullet for rural communities. So I'd like to make the proposal to keep it a living document, and let's push for that and see what we can do with government departments. I think people will be listening, especially with the direction that we're going in the conversations that are happening this week. But yes, welcome the document. Fantastic. But not, don't stop at that. Let's try and go a wee bit further on this.
Okay, thanks, Pete. I see Councillor Andrews has seconded your proposal. So, Michael, are you okay to pick that one up?
Yep. Yes, absolutely, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I agree with what Pete was saying there. For rural areas, we need a greater degree of emphasis on infrastructure that keeps people safe. Madam Chair, I'm asking the Council, is there any way that we can get out to people that they must wear reflective clothing when they're out at night jogging and walking? Because the number of people who have said to me that they've nearly hit somebody or had to swerve, you know, dramatically to avoid collision with someone. People, you know, we encourage people to walk. We encourage the community to do that. But there's a degree of responsibility on people who do walk at night on dark roads to make sure that motorists can see them. And if there's some way the council can get that message out very strongly, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Riley. Michael, can you pick that one up with Councillor Riley as well, please?
Yes, I'm quite happy to talk to the councillor after this. Other councillors will obviously be aware we do an awful lot of this anyway through the PCSP and our DEA structures and through our other community engagement structures. But yeah, happy to keep pushing that message and do anything else that we can.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, there's only really just a couple of these small things just in the report itself. The bottom last paragraph where it quotes myself, and I meant there was no linkage to Ballyholland via Courtney Hill and Temple Hill Roads. It's just for clarity, I want that. And the other a very important one was that where it says there was an omission recognising the road passing our water castle. What I did say was the old road. And train track, there's some parts that are still existing from Narrowwater Castle to the Green Bank in Newry, and that is what I said that should be highlighted, because it is actually is worth looking at in terms of a greenway as well, or at least a part of it. You know, so that those were, I think, was a very important point, just to make sure that's clarified for officers. That's where I actually meant.
Okay, thanks. Can I just clarify? Is that on the minutes or is that on the actual report?
Well, it's on the minutes here of it, Chair. Yeah, you know.
Okay.
So it's just to get that right, you know. If people need further clarification, they come back to me and point it out to them exactly where it is geographically.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor. Sure, we'll get that clarified. Councillor McMurray?
No, thank you, Chair. Again, just really want to sort of add my support to both Councillor O'Murray and Councillor Byrne. Again, I think Councillor O'Murray was at the meeting and spoke about that. And again, I think we have to have pipe dreams. We have to have aspirational documents to work within. And again, as Mr. Lips had said, you know, it is aspirational. It is a living. It is a document, and all that. And I suppose really just to follow up on, I'll not make it as a proposal as such, but I would just maybe ask Councillor Byrne if he can maybe go and have a word with Miss Mallon to increase the spending per capita head, and then I might get a few more of these pipe dreams realised, and we all be surfing pipelines soon. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Okay, we're going to move on to item number 8.1. which is the minutes of the special Active and Healthy Communities meeting held on the 21st of October 2021. So page by page is page 1, page 2 and page 3. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy, please? Proposed by Councillor Murray. And seconded by Councillor Finnegan. Any matters arising?
Chair, can you hear me okay?
Yes, Charlie, come on ahead.
Thanks very much, Cathy. No, it's important to correct that.
Is this about 8.1, yeah?
Yes, I actually chaired the meeting. It's important that the address is wrong on that. Sorry?
It's just it's in closed session. Is it anything we need to go into closed session for?
No, it's just the address. It's on the recommendation, the address is Pound Street, it's actually Pound Road.
Okay. Okay, we'll get that clarified. We'll get that changed, Charlie.
And I don't think it's necessary to speak on it anyway.
100%, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to item number 9, which is the minutes of Neighbourhood Services Committee, held on the 19th of October 2021. So we'll go page by page, for accuracies, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. Can I get a proposer and a seconder for accuracy? And it's proposed by Councillor McKevitt and seconded by Councillor Kern. And any matters arising? Councillor Andrews?
Thanks very much, Chair. It's more of a wee comment. First of all, at the meeting, I did highlight and congratulate the winners of the Green Flag and Green Heritage Flag Awards. And as I said, again, I'd like to congratulate the Green Flag Awards and the Special Green Flag Heritage Award winners, you know, following inspection by Teddy and Ireland, especially Dalamont and the 1DEA, along with others, were a worthy recipient. And I'd like to congratulate and say thank you to all the hard work and effort that was put out by our staff and officers who, through their efforts, allowed this to happen. And again, it's a great news story for the district right across. So again, well done to one and all. It's a wonderful achievement to get such a prestigious award. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Andrews, and I agree 100%. I was lucky enough to visit some of the sites that were awarded. Councillor Tinley.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I wish to raise an issue, if you'll allow me, pertaining generally to this committee. Will you allow that, Chair?
Yeah, okay, go ahead, Charlotte. Can you keep it?
Sure. Yes, I'll be as brief as I can, and I thank you for indulging me. Chair, back in April, I took a matter to council, and it was passed to full council, in relation to the felling, what I regarded as the excessive felling of trees within Cabrini Park in particular. And I got an assurance at that meeting as it was passed that because of the controversy that such works and actions brings upon us all, that going forward, any more extensive works like that on those sites would be run by councillors first, and the reasons given to councillors for their failing in the first place. Now, I cannot believe that 6 or 7 months later, I am back here with a similar issue, this time again in Cabrini Park, and some members may on here may be aware of this, but for those that aren't, they're about to be made aware of it. Pictures appeared over the weekend that showed historic bamboo planting adjacent to the lower car park in Kilbrony had been destroyed and removed by council or contractors on behalf of council. And in doing so, Chair, believe it or not, they have exposed a previously hidden badger set. So this has, needless to say, put people absolutely doolally over this issue. And they are demanding answers. And as with all these things, those answers are being demanded of elected members. Now, I must acknowledge in this instance that Director McBride has been kind enough to come back to me and confirmed that he will offer a meeting. But I thought the issue of such a serious and significant chairperson that I wanted to share it with you and the members here this evening and get assurances. I am concerned. I've read through Johnny's reply to me, and it seems that this bamboo planting that has been there for decades, not only did I play in it as a child, my late father would have played in it as a child as well. So some people have said it was there for over 100 years. So it may well be an invasive species and not a natural planting. But nonetheless, it was a much loved area of that park that has now been absolutely destroyed over the space of a couple of days by machinery. And there's actually a disbelief amongst local people and park users that our council could be so callous when dealing with areas of such significance. So, Chair, further to that paper that we got passed in April relating to the trees, I suppose in hindsight, that should have extended, that agreement should have extended to any works that would fundamentally change the character of the park. And what I'm looking here tonight, Chairperson, because I unequivocally condemn what has happened here, and I want to put it on the record that it wasn't done in my name, and I am absolutely aghast, and sure the concerns and the outright anger that pervades out there in relation to this matter. It is too late now to save this site. My understanding also is that the council have been reported to the police on this matter because the Wildlife Northern Ireland Order 1985, which covers the protection of badgers. So somebody could be in trouble over this. But what I'm seeking here this evening, Chair, is an assurance that going forward, and I'll make it a proposal, Chair, actually just to formalise this, if you'll allow that, that going forward, that council officers liaise with councillors to cover any work that will fundamentally change the character of any area on any of our estates. Like I said earlier, it is too late, Chairperson, to save this site. But we should acknowledge, and I would like to see an acknowledgement here this evening from our senior management team, that this was a mistake. This work should not have taken place in Cabrini Park, regardless of the fact that we were talking about an invasive species here. They've been in place for decades and decades.
Okay.
And I would also, Chair, just to finish up, please, I would also like, and I'll make this part of the proposal, that council come out with an official statement on their social media sites to address what I have just discussed, if members will concur with my views. And thank you, Chair, for indulging me on that.
Okay, Jared, I'm just going to let Marie come in here.
Yeah, Chair, I have communicated with Councillor Tinnelly on this matter. It is a matter that I believe is being looked at in some detail. I would again say to members, this is not a matter to be voting on in Council in relation to what the Council do or don't do on this. It's a matter we need to allow the process to conclude on. I'm happy for it to be picked up outside the meeting. And as Councillor Tinnelly referred to at the start, the Director has been in touch already to arrange a meeting with them. So I don't think it's appropriate. And Councillor Tinnelly was advised of that pre the meeting to go into the detail or make the accusations regarding the Council doing work that is inappropriate, because there has to be a process that concludes on that.
Councillor Tinnelly, are you happy if the director of the...
Well, sure. With the greatest respect to the director, I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I did not raise this matter tonight. We are the elected members. The metaphorical mob was not at Marie Ward's door at the weekend, but I can assure you it was at my door and Councillor Gibbons' door and probably the other Crot Leave councillors. So I put a proposal, Chair. And if I get a seconder, I would respectfully request that you allow it to go to a vote, please.
Jordan, can you just repeat what your proposal is again, please?
Yes, my proposal is that going forward, any works, not only Three Felling, any works within Kilbroney Park and other council sites that will fundamentally change the character of the area, or to be discussed with elected members in advance on reasons given as to the proposed works, and also the council get an official statement onto their social media immediately following this meeting to address the decisions that hopefully will be made here on the matter that has been discussed. Thank you.
Sure. The detail of that is very operational, and I would suggest that Councillor Tinnelly would need to define what he means by changes the character. You could hand tie the council to the point that they couldn't do anything without dealing with it through a committee structure. I appreciate the challenges the members have faced over the weekend. I would reiterate what I have always reiterated. If you have an issue, councillors pick up the phone to me. I answer the phone at weekends and evenings and daytimes. I had not received any calls from Councillor Tinnelly over the weekend on this matter. I have dealt with it since I've become aware of it. But it is very, very operational what is being proposed. I would suggest that the appropriate manner would be to bring a paper through the relevant committee, probably in this instance, Neighbourhood Services, to deal with this matter.
Jarlis, would you be content if a paper comes back to Neighbourhood Services regarding that proposal and it can be discussed then?
And the council will issue a statement. We have one drafted and will issue something in tomorrow.
Listen, Chair, I think there may be other members want to come in on this, but I'm happy to see what they have to say, and then we'll take it from there.
Councillor Casey, is yours on the same? Is your question on the same issue, or is it a different one? I'm just conscious that there's other Crot Leave councillors.
It's not on this issue, Chair. It's on another issue in the minutes.
Okay, can I take Councillor Rihanna? Is yours on the same issue?
It is, Chair. Thanks. Councillor Tinney's right. This has raised concerns in the local area. Myself, as early as 7 o'clock this morning, was approached down in the town in relation to what had taken place. I wasn't aware of it, but I rung Johnny this morning, and I then was talking to Kevin, I think, on three occasions since. I have to say, you know, it shouldn't be. To have to be told to anyone how precious Kilbroney Park is to the district and to the people of the area. And I do think we need to be mindful of anything that we do within the park. It's not hard to seek the views of the local elected reps. It's not hard to gauge the view of the community before something's done. I do appreciate now, because I have been given information on as part of the council's biodiversity plan, and The area in question was, very dense, and it was only after that it had been removed that it was noticed that the badgers were there. But still, there is an issue there, and I do think officers, when dealing with an issue or proposing to deal with an issue really do need to stand back at times and see how it impacts the area, the local community. And there's no harm in getting the views of the local elected reps in relation to it. But I have to say, I thank Kevin for coming back to me, and I agree with Councillor Tindy. We need to get our message out there, because unfortunately people don't know why it was done or who done it, etc. And we need to make people aware that it was ourselves that done it, contractor on our behalf, but it is part of our biodiversity plan. But again, I keep repeating myself, we do cause ourselves numerous problems from just not communicating with the local area, the local community, etc. But I would be of the opinion, Charles, maybe that a paper back to the relevant committee where all councillors would have an input into it, because this is not just relevant to Kilbrony Park. It could be other areas across the district. We need to get this right. We don't want to hamper works that needed to be done by it having to be brought to the attention of everybody all the time. But there is certain areas like Kilbrony Park that most definitely needs to be consulted before things are done within it. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Mickey. Councillor Stokes, I see you want to speak on the same issue. Can I ask you to keep it brief so we can get...
Absolutely, Chair. No, Chair. I agree with the previous two speakers. I mean, it is a communication issue. If this has to be done, then people need to know and be consulted. Like Jarrett, my first childhood memories of playing in Kilbrony were playing in that bamboo, and there'll be a lot of people will feel angry, and I mean, I can understand people's frustration. I was in the park yesterday and say it is a fantastic asset. I think, you know, if we need to be talking to people. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Stokes. Councillor Riley, is this on the same issue or is yours a separate issue?
Yeah, be very brief, Madam Chair. Yeah. No, I've actually had complaints about this issue as well down here in Kilkeel, because Kilbrony Park is a global facility for want of a better word, you know, it's used by people from throughout the district and further afield. And I understand the biodiversity issue, but there's a difference in non-native and invasive. Bamboo are not an invasive species. And I'm at a loss as to why an ornamental plant like that has been decimated. It just doesn't make sense to me at all as a horticulturist. And, you know, we do need to get answers on this. And surely to goodness, anybody with any wit would go in and check to make sure there was no badger set in there before they would go in with a digger. So a lot of answers, and we need a lot of answers. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Councillor Riley. Councillor Gibbons?
Yes, Chair, just quickly, I disagree with everybody else's comments, and Councillor Tinley especially. It has just been, since it's happened, it has just got out of control, especially in social media, and there has been people calling the maid over. It was a fantastic fireworks display last night that Councillor Tinley organised, and I decided not to take the child because it was just too much now for the reaction it had. But look, communication is a huge issue here. We're not talking about everything small thing that happens in a park. Councillors have to be notified. But when it comes to big jobs, operations like this, even just a heads up on regarding what's going to happen, especially to the local councillors who are going to get contacted if anything goes wrong. And the badger set especially is something that's getting to me, because, you know, it couldn't have fallen from the sky. You know, that's when you're going to cut into bamboo like that, it would be one of the first things you'll notice. But look, I agree with all the councillors, and just hopefully this is one of these things that there'll be change, there'll be drastic change after this event.
Thanks, Mark. Councillor McKevitt?
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. I too have had phone calls on it, and to be quite honest with you, I found it that on this occasion I couldn't defend the council on the actions of particularly the disturbance and the wrecking of the badger set and the bamboo. It was dreadful because it was quoted to me about planning policy, etc., and how normal members of the public have to go through guidance and policies and stick to it, and yet our council can put a digger straight through it. There's Councillor Gibbons and the comments made before Councillor Tinley and that are quite right, and Councillor Wan, people are very, very annoyed about this. So I think we need to get the policy right. on this, and I think we need to be clear. I welcome the fact on Jarrett's proposal that the council have agreed put out something on social media on this, because I couldn't defend it, I have to say. So I think in principle we need to get the policy right, and to go into detail of that needs to go to SPNR. So but yeah, I have to say condemnation all around, and it's been one of the issues that, from listening to other councillors, that it has been very, very vocal and very well put by constituents of ours in Cotley. Thanks.
Thanks, Karen. Councillor McAteer?
Yeah, Chair, thank you. Yeah, I'm not going to rehearse everything, but all to say that there's a solidary lesson to be learned from this, really, preparations, everything. I'm sure nobody intended to cause the damage they did cause, but I think I think people are going to have to learn from this. But I do think that we need a full explanation out there on how it did happen, and how you know, the action of a digger was more conscientious of the potential threats and the dangers that there are there, you know. And it is a legal matter to destroy a badger set, so that's why the public take it seriously, and obviously we do what we have to as well as public representatives. But I'm sure nobody intended to do it, but as I said, a lesson learned.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor McAteer. Councillor McKay, is it in the same issue?
Yeah, same issue, Chair. Matt, yes.
Please.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not too sure why you say, you know, no one intended to do it, but obviously there was some intention to go in there and to remove bamboo, and I know exactly the area we're talking about, and the bamboo in itself to me would be pretty unique just to have that. Many of them would love to have it, despite whatever species it is, but I know if that was ourselves, somebody outside, particularly the council, and in relation to planning issues and whatever the case may be, but one of the things that you have to do first through the NIA is check, for example, there's no bats, there's no birds, there's no badgers, and all those things is checked out first before anybody is allowed to a digger near it. So obviously somebody has some other idea to do this. So I totally agree with everyone else has said. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor McKay. Councillor Tenley, can I just come back to yourself to check? There seems to be broad agreement that there needs to be this policy needs to be looked at. Are you in agreement to bring something back through committee?
Yeah, that's fine, Chair, and I'm very heartened to hear all the previous comments. Can you just confirm that there will be a statement? The council will be putting a statement out as soon as on this matter?
Yeah, Chair, a statement will be issued tomorrow morning on the matter.
Thank you. Thanks, Cathy. Thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Jarlath. Councillor Casey, you were looking in on an item.
Yeah, thanks very much, Cathy. Mine is to do with a thing. The council took a decision to write to the administrator of the cathedral to open up the side garden, and for council to move the crib back as far back as it could and allow people in to view the crib, not just to, as the statement says there, to open the side garden to allow people to see the crib. The people can see the crib. The only thing is, it's behind a locked gate and the perspex sheet. My proposal was for the council to ask the administrator to open up the garden and for council to move the crib further back to allow people in and out, families in and out, to view the crib. Could we get that changed, please, if you don't mind? Thank you very much, Chair.
That's a correction on the minutes, Charlie, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that, Cathy.
Okay, thanks. Okay, we move on to item number 10, which is the planning section. We'll go page by page. So page 1, page 2. Can I get proposer and seconder for accuracy?
Sure. I want to pick up on accuracy.
Yes.
On page, the bottom of page 1, top of page 2, it notes that John Turner made a proposal which I seconded. John Turner's proposal met support from all sides of the meeting. What essentially the paper that was brought forward stated in principle that we'd have a planning policy that was hostile to renewable energy unless there were good reasons why it should be allowed. John Traynor suggested we should flip it to say that we should essentially be positive towards renewable energy
unless serious negative reasons were found to disallow it. And I think I'd just like that to be a bit more clear in the minutes. I thought it was a very good proposal from John, and it met widespread support at the meeting. Thank you.
Okay, they were for noting tonight, Krogan, and they've already been agreed at the October Planning Committee. Those minutes.
I mean, do we have to bring a motion forward to council to get that fixed?
No, it's a correction of the minutes. You said on the planning committee, Councillor Enright, yeah? So you would have had an opportunity to amend at that point. Yeah. Well, you were at the meeting, so. Yeah, we can check the record of the meeting for you. Just so you would have been present and just check that you were there at that point to make a correction. Okay, can we pick that off up offline with Councillor Enright then? Okay, thank you. So proposed by Councillor Larkin.
Yeah, proposed.
Seconded by Councillor McAteer. Thank you. Okay, so items number 11 to number 16 are for noting. Can I get a proposer and a seconder to note? And we'll follow with any questions proposed by Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Councillor Savage, you're looking in on item number 11.
Yes, Chair. Thanks very much for letting me in. So, as you know, Chair, we have our own housing needs conference next Wednesday, 10th of November, in the Burndale Hotel. And I'd like to pay tribute to Connor and the team for organising that and pulling everything together. Chair, given the latest figures are showing that we're looking at the region of 3,766 applicants. That's families and individuals in our district who are on the waiting list and languishing there on some occasions, and some 2,976 of them are either homeless or in housing need. Chair, I think it's only right that on the back of the seismic change that the Communities Minister has announced for the Housing Executive, far-reaching change and change that I welcome, and a move that's aimed at taking the housing crisis seriously across the North, I believe that we start moving next week's conference beyond the talking stage. You know, we did some very good work the first time, and I believe we need to move towards the delivery stage. And sure, I think, you know, the conference is a serious enough event in relation to a serious, serious issue that we face in our district. And I think it's very important that we should start being ambitious about the outcomes of that. And I think we should extend an invitation to the Communities Minister to attend the conference. I know previously we've invited permanent secretaries have attended and the chief executive, the housing executive. But I believe this would create an opportunity where, you know, Newry, that outside of Derry and Belfast, faces some of the biggest and maybe most unique challenges in relation to housing. And I believe that the minister may gain valuable insight into some of the unique challenges that we face, that she can build them into her strategy going forward. You know, we all need to work together, regardless of our backgrounds, to solve this problem. Because, you know, the housing crisis doesn't look at anybody's politics or their background. And I think that, you know, one of the key things we've achieved as a council across all parties is supporting our changes that we've introduced to the planning policy to try and get houses built. But, you know, despite what we've done in recent years, you know, our housing list is still going up. It's a huge challenge, and we need to get behind whoever's at the wheel of that ministry going forward. And sure, I believe we should invite the minister to come along if she can attend. And not only that, give her an opportunity to outline to us as councillors and all of us who are at the coalface every day of trying to meet housing need and dealing with the human beings behind this, these numbers, that, you know, she can give us an outline of her vision of where we're going, and then we can develop our strategy around that bigger strategy. And, you know, I would like to encourage all the political parties here to get behind that, and hopefully if we could extend an invitation to the minister that if she's free she could attend, I think it would be send out a very strong message of hope to those families who are facing hardship, real hardship, on waiting lists at the moment, and it would potentially give us the momentum we need to take what comes out of that conference forward, and it fits in with the wider agenda within the department, within the housing executive, and obviously all the other stakeholders who are at the coalface every day of that. So, Chair, I would ask that an invitation is extended to the Minister, and if she's free, that she's attended and we facilitate her presence. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Councillor Savage. Are you making a proposal on that? Do you have a
yes, second? I would like to make a proposal, yes, if somebody's happy to second it.
Oh, Councillor Andrews. Thanks very much. Okay, we'll pick that up, Councillor Savage. Councillor Byrne?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I thought.
My apologies.
I'll wait till Terry comes
in. Sorry, Terry. Councillor Andrews is in first.
Yes, more or less. It was agenda item number 16 in relation to the National Association of Councillors. I'd like to make a proposal that if any member of the NAC would like to attend, to contact Democratic Services, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, can we get a seconder for that, please? Thanks, Councillor Kern. Okay, so if everyone, anyone who wants to attend that can, that is an NAC member, if they can contact Democratic Services as soon as possible. There's flights and things to be booked, so we need to get that in as soon as possible. Apologies, Pete, do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. On item 15, it's the correspondence back on the motion that I took last month at the Universal Credit Uplift. And reading through the correspondence, firstly, to thank the Minister for the staff, Paddy Rooney, the Deputy Secretary for Work and Health Group, for writing back. And the letter did end. I trust this is helpful. And it was helpful when I read through it because the Minister herself had submitted a bid of $55 million to the October managing round, which was welcome. Obviously, this letter has now been obtained because when it was dated on the 26th of October, things have moved on, and I know there's debate going on in Stormont. Now, I'm not going to get into the detail of that, nor am I going to rehash what I had said in the motion. So just to say that, you know, in this letter, the Minister states that it's up to the Executive to decide if this bid is met, and from obviously the discussion that we're having today, to hear that it has been decided through urgent procedure is extremely disappointing. I mean, we've found a large sum of money to give everybody and people that don't need it, £100 vouchers to go out, and I do know that's for supporting high street businesses. But this really is going to come back and bite us in the backside, because this is to improve, you know, health and well-being for people, and to try and get people through a very difficult winter when costs are rising. So, I genuinely get fed up when we get positive responses like this back from the Minister, and then 2 or 3 days later, it sort of all falls in its arse. I genuinely get fed up of pointing the finger and saying it's their fault, or it's Westminster's fault, or it's this minister's fault, or that minister's fault. We need to get together and ensure that we're governing for the people and the vulnerable people that need us to make decisions on their behalf. So just to register my, first of all, thanks to the Minister for the positive letter that was sent back and for her work in the October monitoring round, but my disappointment that we didn't have the foresight to make an application, whether from next year's committed budget that we know we have, or from the monitoring round that's coming in January. I find it quite disappointing.
Thanks, Councillor Byrne. Councillor Murray?
Yeah, just on the same issue. Be very quick. I could refer Pete to today's assembly meeting where both Matthew Ruan and Sinead McLaughlin brought up a similar issue, and they were both schooled on how to make a proposal and told under no uncertain terms to put up or shut up. There was a proposal put into the executive to give £200 million for health. There was many other proposals. One came from the Minister of Communities to ask for £55 million to be set aside for the uplift, for the £20 a week uplift. That was one of the proposals that was made to the executive. The executive decided together collectively that they wanted to put the priority into health. They wanted to give £200 million to health. You know, it was pointed out that there's no point in SDLP councillors or other SDLP MLAs coming out and saying it should have came here. The only place to make that proposal would have been for Nicola Mallon and the executive to take £55 million out of what was promised to health, out of the £200 million for health. You know, otherwise it just looks disingenuous. It looks dishonest. It would be ideal. It would be an absolute ideal world if the £55 million had been able to be found to give everyone the £20 a week uplift in universal credit. But at the same time, you can't make money appear. You can't give the £200 million to health. £200 million for health isn't even enough for the problems that there are in the health department at the minute. It's not enough. More money would have been needed for it. So to take £55 million out of it, it would have been a tough call. It would have been an unbelievably tough call. It would have been, then you would have had the department, you would have every hospital and every health chief given out stink that they didn't get what they needed. So, look, it's disingenuous, because you've got a minister who's in the executive signing up to give make health the priority, and you've got councillors and MLAs lining up to take a pot shot at that decision.
Thanks, Councillor O'Murray. Councillor Byrne, you're looking back in again. Is this on the same issue, or is it on something else?
Yeah, it's on the same issue, Chair, but it's not to go into a speech on it. It's just to clarify that that's not what I'm saying. To clear up what I had stated before Councillor Murray had come in, I'm not talking about taking out of the £200 million. I'm talking about the Minister for Finance recognising that you can make in-year overcommitments, and we've another monitoring round coming before we go into the Assembly election in January. We know that our budget is, we know what our budget is for next year, and it's all about working collectively to say what we need to do in order to represent the people here instead of finger blaming. I'm not making any political statement, and that's why I said I will not rehash what was said in the Assembly. I am stating that I am thankful to the Minister for her direction as the Minister for Communities for making the bid in the October monitoring round, and my disappointment at the collective will is not there to work together to make overcommitments and a bid for the January monitoring round or next year, because that will come back and increase the pressures in health in the future. And I stated that I'm sick, sore and tired of making these short-term decisions with political leanings on it, and then being falling on our backside in years to come. That's the statement I made. I don't want to make any political statement on it, but I just want to clarify your remarks on it.
Thank you. Okay. So there's no other questions under those items. So we'll move on to our notices of motion. Our first notice of motion tonight is from Councillor Brown, and it's being referred to the SPNR Committee. Councillor Brown, if you'd like to read out your motion as it is and let us know who's seconding it, please.
Yes, no problem, Chair. Cameron seemed to be working there, so I'll just keep it off. So, notice of motion is on contactless payment stations, and it reads as follows. Given the continued high homelessness rates in the district and the rise in cashless transactions, this council commits to installing a number of contactless payment stations in main urban areas across the district, which can gather donations for homelessness charities based in the district to distribute to those most in need. And I see Councillor McMurray is seconding it there, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Brown. So our next notice of motion is from Councillor Enright. Before I hand over to you, Councillor Enright, just to read out your motion, as it does have to be deferred to SPNR Committee, I'd just like to make a quick point at how important I think this motion is, and thank you for bringing it to the Council. It's something that's close to my own heart, and I know to many others. So although it has been deferred to SPNR, I would encourage all of the councillors to attend that meeting so that they can take part in that discussion. So, Councillor Enright, if you're okay to read out your motion as it is and let us know who will be seconding it, please.
Thanks, Chair. I think Glenn Hannah agreed he would second it. I must say I appreciate you referring this to a statutory committee, because I had made, over the last 2 years, a dozen proposals totalling some £200 million worth of revenue or savings from council that were not referred to a statutory committee. So I'll read this. Council notes the supporting table is based on FOI requests from the Department of Finance, supplemented by FOI requests from each of the 11 councils. Council notes that our district is running a poor last pace in terms of revenue, despite having the best potential renewable resources in the north outside of Donegal. Were it not for the 100,000 plus per annum benefit from our old abandoned energy efficiency programme, Newry Mourne and Down District Council's position would be worse. Council formally adopts revenue targets from renewables as follows. 2022, 1 million. be about 1% chairperson. 2025, 5 million. 2030, 10 million per annum. Council directs, and I'm told that I might not include management, the word management here. I'd like some direction on that. I did ask for direction on that, but it currently reads, Council directs management that these targets can be met by rates from renewables projects, income from Council's own renewable projects, and from a revitalised energy savings programme. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Councillor. And can you just clarify again who was second in the motion?
Glyn said he would second the motion.
Glyn, can you confirm your second in the motion?
Sure, well, I'll be the second. I think Cadogan has a point there, and it's worth discussing.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. So that brings our meeting to a close tonight. So thanks, everyone, for attending, and safe home to everyone in the chamber. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.
Good morning, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you.